Thank you to each of you for being here today, and thank you to those who have helped to lead us and guide us in worship so far this morning. We are going to just dive into a little bit of work with the Psalms this morning. And through this summer, we've been hanging out with the Psalms. Lingering? Maybe? All summer long. We started at the beginning of the summer section here, and Joel led us in some great worship and teaching around Psalm 1 and 2, and we've worked our way all the way through. We've had psalms of worship and hymns and liturgical psalms, and if we came all the way through this summer without at least touching on the psalms of lament, we'd have missed a really important part of the book of Psalms. Now, I don't know if you've noticed. I suspect many of you have been hanging out in places like this, like I do. And we sing a lot of psalms of praise, songs of praise. We sang them this morning. They're some of my favorite songs. I love to sing songs of praise. We don't write or sing very many songs of lament, unless you really like country music. And then you know what that's like. So here we are in the Psalms. Now, the Psalms are prayer poems that help us to experience relationship with God, whatever the circumstances of our life are. Sometimes they connect us to our personal relationship with God. Sometimes they connect us as a group, a community, to our relationship with God. Sometimes psalms point us to wisdom. Often they allow us to bring our sensory experiences, what we're noticing in our bodies, what we touch and taste and hear and smell. I missed one. See, yeah, well, what we see. Very good, thank you. See, this, when I thanked you for being here and the ways that you're helping to make worship happen, it's because really, this is a whole thing, right? I need all of you this morning. So we've lingered in the Psalms and in our sensory experiences, and we're connected to the storylines of Scripture through the Psalms. The Psalms are, I'm doing a fact check in my brain. I would say the Psalms are the prayer book for every single scripture writer. And for like all of Christian history since then, the Psalms are a key, pivotal place that we connect with God in worship and in learning. So, lament. What is a lament anyway? There's a book in the Bible called Lamentations, and if you think it might be connected to lament, you think right. There's a connection. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. If you want to read other laments, because, I mean, don't we all just want to read someone else's laments? They teach us how to be in relationship with God while we're in the midst of experiencing things that lead us to feeling the feelings that come with lament. So, Lamentations, Jeremiah, we heard a section from Jeremiah today. And lament is one of those kinds of words. Now, the kids have all gone downstairs. I wanted them to, oh, not all of them. Thank you. Thank you to some of you older kids for staying here. Some of you are just, like, not even kids anymore, right? Verb. What is a verb? Lament is a verb. What is a verb? An action word. Lament is an action word. Now, you might have heard the word lament in that really old-fashioned phrase. I rue and lament making that choice. Like, for example, when I was a kid and I licked the frozen flagpole, I rued and lamented that choice. It was a bad idea. Lament can also be a noun, an idea, or a thing. It's a strong word that is used to express our sadness, our anger, our frustration, our fear, or our mourning. And you could write or sing or cry or pray a lament. Now, prayers of lament are layered, built, taught, patterned after the Psalms of Lament. They take our pain and our sadness and our suffering and they address them towards God. Sometimes we lament because of something we did. When I licked the frozen flagpole, that was something I did. And I can lament that, having made a choice that I don't like the consequences of. But often we lament because of the things that other people have done around us, to us, or sometimes because of situations that are just completely out of our control. I have bells ringing because here we are in the middle of a pandemic, something completely outside of our control. And I don't know about you, but last March, when we went home and I preached from Zoom for the first time for this congregation, I was pretty sure 4 to 6 weeks, right? Certainly by the end of June, right? Like once it got warm last summer, this is all going to go away. And here we are at the end of August, the next year, and we're working our way steadily through variants of concern. What an antiseptic way to talk about that. Variants of concern. So perhaps you have had, as I have had, experiences over the last day, week, month, year, that have made you feel like blaming someone else. Maybe like fighting. Maybe like curling up under the covers and crying. Maybe you've even felt like running away. Those are the kinds of emotions that lead us to a prayer of lament. Suffering and sadness and anger and fear are normal human experiences. If you don't feel any of those things ever, you're probably not alive. So double check. But prayers of lament are a uniquely faith-oriented position, a uniquely relationship-oriented position in the midst of those feelings. So our psalm today, and I love the way Kaylee gave us pictures of the arms full of God's blessings. God has provided nourishment for us and rest and scripture and the opportunity to connect with God in prayer. And our arms are full of those blessings. No matter what else is going on around us, we have those blessings that Sarah held to be able to carry with us. Our psalm today, Psalm 126, it's not really a teaching psalm. We have psalms of wisdom that tell us things. Psalm 126 is a picture psalm. I think of it that way. Think of it like painting a picture or telling a story, almost in reverse, backwards, from the end to the forward. The Hebrew people had been taken into captivity in Babylon. The Babylonians took over their land, and some of the people were taken as captives or as slaves. Can you enter into the feeling of sadness that comes from that? When someone shows up in your land and takes you away, separates you from your family. Can you imagine their pain and their sadness? Perhaps you, like I have, heard stories of people telling those experiences from their own lives, from the perspective of a person who that has happened to. Perhaps you've had that happen to yourself or to someone in your family line, in your history. Even in the very best situations, when there's something happening that maybe we're looking forward to, we're going to go to a new school, or we have a new job coming up, maybe there's a new home somewhere, even in the very best of situations, there are experiences of heartache. And yet, here we have these dear people who surrounded the psalmist. They suspect it was Ezra, who probably wrote Psalm 126 for us, telling the story of what it was like to have been slaves and to cry out directly to Yahweh, boldly. That's the very first characteristic. One of the things that shows up over and over and over again in the Psalms of Lament is to cry out to God directly. Now, if you're the sort of person who likes to read with your own eyes, you can open this up in your pew Bibles or on your phones, on your Bible app, I Love You version, but it's not an advertisement. If you read through and come across where it says capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it's not just a title for God. That's actually God's name, Yahweh. So Yahweh is addressed directly. Oh Lord, we ask you to bless our people again. There we are, jumping in the middle of the psalm. And that word at the end, again, must mean that they're in trouble again. When we notice, like this psalm points out to us, that our emotions are all in a jumble, then a psalm of lament allows us to turn towards a God who loves us, who wants to be with us in our suffering. And then right in that moment of turning toward God, we can acknowledge all those feelings that are there. They're just mixed up, messed up all over the place. Tears and anger and feeling afraid, or maybe feeling kind of numb. I can't even face any of it. I just want to back off. So I wonder if you'd try something with me, if you're feeling brave. It's not too scary, I hope. If you would, reach out and just gently touch the back of your hand. Or if you're feeling super brave, you can just reach around and wrap yourself in a hug. Maybe you're one of those people who, when you stroke the side of your cheek or touch your forehead, or maybe rub your ear. Oh, God has given us these fantastic, amazing, beautiful bodies. And God has given us this gift, that God wants us to know in these bodies that we are loved. And so God made our brains in such a way that this simple, gentle touch of skin signals to our brain, way down in the inside, in the middle, that it's safe. And that's okay. And if you would practice this and listen at the same time for the voice of the Spirit saying, I love you. I'm right with you in the hard times. Then you can take your physical body, your physiology, and pair it with a spiritual practice that will help your brain to remember over and over again that you are loved. You are loved. And whatever the hard things are, because the hard things are not going to go away. Whatever the hard things are, God is right there with us in it. So we address God, we acknowledge our feelings. Those are hallmarks of the Psalms of Lament. But the Psalms of Lament also retell the stories of what God has done. So can you think of something from your own life, maybe this week, maybe last week, maybe it was 10 years ago, something that you noticed God was with you, a story of what God has done for you. hold that in your mind and savor it. And if, as you look for it, you can't find it, it's okay. Find somebody to talk to about that later today, tomorrow, this week. And I bet if you engage in conversation with someone who wants to help you look for where God is at work in your life, you'll be able to find that. Because I know, I believe so strongly that God is at work in each of our lives, because God loves each of us, each of us. So here we are in the middle of the psalm, in the middle of a story, and we're connecting it back and forth, right? The psalm, our lives. The psalm, our lives. In the psalm, they said, we'd had so many tears. We've cried before, we're crying again. We've experienced drought before, we're experiencing drought again. We're living this in Saskatchewan right now. We've watched dangerous governments cause havoc for people before. We're watching that happen in our world right now too. We've experienced empty arms before, and we've experienced it again. Perhaps there are people that we long to hold and hug, and we can't because of social. Really, it's physical distancing, everyone. It's not social distancing. Let's have our hearts be close to one another, even though we need to be physically separate. They didn't ask me when they named that. I'm not surprised either, but we have seen God be with us in these experiences in the past. We have seen God provide for us, give us rest and spaces to connect with relationship with God and with one another. And we will see it again. Even if we're in the midst right now of not knowing, seeing, being able to put our finger on where God is, I want to offer you the hope that God is right there with you in it, and you will come through the experience of lament. Psalms of lament give us a form of etiquette to interact with God in a relationship, to develop our trust for God, to retell and activate our memories about what God has done in the past, to repeat the words of Scripture and remember God's love for us, to experience God's embrace, even if the situation outside of us doesn't change. And then another characteristic, the last characteristic of Psalms of Lament that I'll talk about today, is that Psalms of Lament, almost all of them, end with a vow to praise God. There are a few that end with darkness being my only friend. And I think many of us have had that experience where we've felt that way on one day or another, but almost all the time, we can come round again to vowing to praise God. Being able to say that even if right now I don't feel it, I can choose to name one or many of the 10,000 reasons that I have to praise God. A prayer of lament plants seeds in us. And in our sacred, prayerful imaginations, so that we too can see ourselves right now coming home from harvest with our arms overloaded with blessings, even if our physical experience is something different right now. Spiritually, our arms can be overloaded with blessings. I'm just pausing for a moment to listen here. Make sure, is there something else that I need to say? Or something else that I need to hear from the Spirit? I love the Psalms. And in choosing this psalm, because we got to choose. Each of the preachers this summer got to choose which psalms we shared from. I love the psalms. And I chose this one, Psalm 126, because it is my favorite psalm. It's the one that I sit down and write out on days when I am full of tears, but it's also the psalm that I carry with me on days when I know and feel the abundant blessing of God. And I hope you too have psalms that are your favorite, ones that are teaching you to pray, inviting you into relationship and active conversation with God. Psalms of lament have made a huge difference to my prayer life. And I hope that as you walk through your experiences, if you haven't used Psalms of Lament as part of your prayer life, I would encourage you to incorporate them, use them, allow the Spirit to speak to you and nourish you through them. And in this way, I think we will find that our arms can be full of blessings, blessings of relationship with God. And then we can see the great harvest in our lives that can be gathered up. And we too can proclaim with James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. As we cultivate that message of relationship, relationship, relationship that has been planted in us.